And even if you look at the commercial aspect, you don't really see the Good Friday commercials. Normally, nobody talk about the Good Friday commercials. But they only have the Easter commercial, but they distorted it. We need to go back to that God's Friday, that Holy Friday. Of course, somebody asked, why should we celebrate Good Friday? After all, it's about Jesus' death. He was crucified, and it was an excruciating, agonizing pain at that very moment of his death. Why should we celebrate? But then, friend, I want you to know that God has given us the results of his death. That's why we need to celebrate. But we need to understand a little bit more about this Friday, the death of Jesus Christ. We do not only remember the death of Jesus on Friday. The Bible tells me that we were all instructed to honor the death of Jesus by observing the Lord's Supper. Am I right or not? He says, do this in remembrance of me. And we need to remember the Lord's death every day of our lives. So it's not just only one day, but it's every day. But friend, if we were to go into this Friday is a very, very painful day. Most of us do not want to hear the description of Friday. We only heard about the death of Jesus. But as I look into the entire passage of what Jesus had done, what God would take his son through to the cross of Calvary, I want you to know there is a question in my mind. Is God interested in me? Is God really interested in my family? Is God really interested in my career? Is God interested in my ambition? Because there was a time when there was this young girl in Johor. She was working in a pub. You call the pub here or the bar, but it's like a coffee house in Malaysia. One day, there was one man that tries to seduce her and tries to get close to her. Of course, she still have her own morality and decided to discard the man and say no. She rejected, refused everything that the man tries to do. She succeeded. One day, she was having an off day and she was in the apartment. But this man knew where she was living. And he came by with his motorbikes, parked downstairs, and he actually did a search, found where she was living. He went knocking at the door. And this man pretend that he has stomach problem. He needs some help. So when the girl opened the door, saw him, she knew that this man was trying to do something. She closed the door and he kept knocking again. And finally, with much persistence, she actually opened the door. And this man said, I need some help. I have stomach problem. I really need some. I need the Panadol. And so out of her passion and wanting to help, she opened the door, let him in. He sat down and she went to the kitchen. And in the kitchen, she was boiling some water. Lo and behold, that man followed her to the kitchen. And what happened was, that man tries to grab hold of her. And she tried to struggle with him. And he decided to hit her. And she fell down. And he took the boiling water and poured onto her face. The nightmare begins. Is God interested in me? The story of this young girl had her face marred completely. If any one of you in the mirror, you cry because of her pimples on your face, listen to this story. Her face was totally marred. Eyelids were all closed. Lips were all closed. Ears were all closed. She had to go for a surgery just to open up allowing her to peep out and see, allowing her to hear a little, allowing her to breathe through her nose, allowing her to open her mouth and speak. She had a thorough surgery. Lo and behold, one day she came to the church, and praise be to God, Jesus is our great healer. She came in and was healed in her inner being. She gave her life to Jesus. But there was this question before she met Jesus. Is there a God who is interested in me? I believe the same cry will always be around in our city. There will be people in the street crying out, is there someone who is interested in me? Is there someone who really cares for my pain? Is there someone who can touch me and heal my pain that is so deeply rooted? And I realized that King David was also the victim of the same question. If you look into Psalms 13 in verse 1 and 2, I read it to you. Psalms 13, David cried out and said, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? David cries out, how long, O Lord, how long? Some of us will be crying the same thing. We go through those paths, and it's so tense, so agonizing, so painful. We say, Lord, how long? How long will it take this pain? How long will you want me to go through that pain? But the beautiful thing about this psalm is that many of us missed out the word, oh Lord. You see, David cried out and said, how long, oh Lord? That word Lord was a covenantal name that he ascribed unto God. He said, how long, O covenantal Lord? You are the one who established the covenant in our life. And in your covenant, you said, you will not forsake me. You will not abandon me. What a wonderful psalm. Some of us, we cried out, how long? We are looking for God to take away the pain. But then we forgot, God is a covenantal God. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you, because our God is always with us. Many a time, we forgot what this covenant meant. Let me tell you what this covenant actually means. This covenant means that when situation in your life begin to fluctuate or change, God's promise never change. This covenant tells me, no matter whatever your feelings are right now, we are so susceptible to our feeling. Our feeling constantly goes up, goes down. Today we are good, tomorrow we are bad. Today we are good, tomorrow we go through some problem. And our feelings feel so bad, and we feel so alone, and we cried out, how long? But in the covenant name of God, our feelings may fluctuate, but God's pledge for you remains the same. I am glad that David was not the only one that went through as a victim of that question, is God interested in me? I found out that Jesus had the same problem. Jesus, when he was hung at the cross, he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Isn't it true when Jesus was nailed at the cross with the blood oozing out from his wrist, oozing out from his head, oozing out from his side, with all the flesh of his body being torn apart? But he did not cry it out and say, God, God, it's so painful. No, he only cried out one cry. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, friends, the worst kind of life you ever go through is not the physical pain. is the pain of being abandoned. And there are many people in this world who has been abandoned. They are left outside the street. Sometimes consciously or unconsciously, we abandon other people by not wanting to help them. People feel being abandoned. It's not about a physical pain. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Of course you and I know. God did not abandon Jesus, but he saw the sins of the world. That is so ferocious, that is so ugly, that is so wicked, came upon the shoulder and the life of Jesus. And God, in his pain, turned his face away. This is an example of what it means to be abandoned. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was crucified, the disciples saw the entire event, and when he died and when he breathed and breathed his last breath, he was taken down. Then the disciples saw everything, and they quickly locked themselves up in a room, fearing the Jews, fearing the religious people. They locked themselves, cutting themselves away from the fellowship with the Master. They saw the death of their Master. They saw the death of their Lord. And they do not know what to do. It's like when you love somebody so dearly and God take the person away. How do you feel? And that's exactly how the disciples feel. They walked with Jesus for 3 years, and suddenly the Lord took his son away, and here they are, completely lost from the fellowship with the Master. The disciples felt that the hope for Jesus to change the Roman Empire is now gone. They were hoping that this great Messiah is going to change the world. It's all gone. I remember this story of this family in the Bible. Her name is Naomi. Naomi and Elimelech went over to Moab because of the famine in Bethlehem. And as they were settling down in Moab, the children, Mahlon and Chilion, found their wives in Moab. And they were the Moabites. But somehow in the midst of their life in this land, something happened. Elimelech died, Mahlon died, Chilion died. Naomi felt so distressed and distraught. She lost everyone in the family except the two daughters-in-law. And she tried to convince them to go back to their homeland, go back to their people, except for one. Ruth refused. Ruth said, no, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I have nowhere to go back. I'm not going back to the Moab. I'm going to follow you. And Naomi just couldn't resist it and said, okay, but I tell you, I'm too old to have another child. I can't bear another child for you. But Ruth was not looking for another child from her. She just wanted to follow her. And so Naomi went back home to Bethlehem. And as she was going, she cried out to the people and said, please, please, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Pleasant. Call me Mara. I am very bitter. I lost my husband. I lost my two children. I lost everything. I thought I could settle down in Moab and restart my family and build my family up. But no, I've lost everything. I'm coming home with shame. I do not know where to go. I must come home. This is my homeland. But yet inside her, she was very bitter. But she forgot she has Ruth by her side. Brothers and sisters, that's how many people feel. They feel they have lost something. They feel they have lost the power. They feel they have lost the ability to restart their family. They thought everything is over, gone. My life is miserable. I'm all by myself. And that's exactly how Naomi feels. And that's exactly how the disciples feel. In fact, John Gospel says they lock themselves in. They lock themselves in. They are so afraid. That's exactly how we feel sometimes. We're so afraid of what people may say about me. And we're so afraid that people will talk about me. So we caved in. We caved in with shame. We caved in with fear. We caved in with anger. Some people caved in by not going out to a fellowship. They don't want to meet anybody at all. They caved in. That's exactly how many people feel. And apparently the death of Jesus, which the disciples witnessed, seems to end all their dreams. Yes, brothers and sisters, some of you may feel that your dreams have ended. When you lose your dream just because there was no answer from heaven above and you started to drift away, you thought that in that dream, how is it that God did not turn into a reality? And you waited and you waited, but nothing happens. And you start to drift away. You cried out and you say, why are you not hearing my prayer, Lord? Isn't it true? That's exactly what Friday is all about. That Friday when Jesus was hung at the cross, it's like, God, you are not there. You abandoned me. I'm going through the pain, but you're not listening to me. I've been praying, but my prayer seems to bounce up and down, not getting through at all. And we start praying, and we start praying, and we start praying, and yet nothing happens. And finally, we gave up because you are on Friday. You were on Friday, brothers and sisters. You were on Friday. On Friday, everything seems to be shattering. Your dreams seem to be shattered. Your heart seems to be dismayed. Your life seems to be distressed. That's on Friday. But I want you to know that when the Friday ends, there's going to be Sunday. Hallelujah. There's going to be Sunday. And that Sunday is coming soon. You're just going through that Friday of agony. And you're into the Saturday of silence where God doesn't seem to be there, where God still seems to be answering. But brothers and sisters, we are just one more day into Sunday. Jesus is alive. He is raised from the dead. And that is what I mean. Friday is there, but Sunday is coming. Amen. The world needs to know that we have Sunday. We have the resurrection day, hallelujah. And that was the moment itself. That Sunday seems to be the day when the enemy thought he has won and he thought he can relax. But all of a sudden, when darkness seems to reign, there was this little flickering light right at the end of the tunnel. And you wonder, is that the Lord? Is that the Lord? And you try to move closer. God, is there light? Is that you, Lord? And as you get closer, the light gets bigger. And the light gets bigger. Something is happening. Something is happening right there. And it gets closer and closer. Brothers and sisters, when something is happening, it's not the grand sale in Myers. When something is happening, oh friend, it's not about a cheap sale from Good Guys. Something spectacular is happening. Something phenomenal is happening. You get closer to the Lord, you see the light gets bigger. When you get closer to the Lord, the light gets bigger and bigger. Many a time we don't see the light because we are too far away. But the flickering light is getting brighter and brighter. And all of a sudden, the thing begins to shake. What is happening? What is happening? And all of a sudden, you get right to the tombstone. It is empty. Hallelujah. And when you get there, it is empty. Jesus is alive. And when you get into that, brothers and sisters, death is swallowed up. Hallelujah. Death is swallowed up. I do not know about you, but when all your crises that is happening around you, it is over.
Somebody say amen. When crisis seems to be engulfing you and overwhelming you, but I want you to know there is the resurrection power. You do not live every day without the resurrection power. You live every day with His resurrection power. Therefore, all that you go through, all the situation that seems difficult to you, you must know there is the resurrection power. And I want to say this to you, because some Christians live their life as though God is dead. But I have a good news. My God is alive. And He can do all things beyond what you ask for. And you thought to yourself, I've been a believer for many years. I know what Jesus has done. But sadly, I don't think you know. Because every time when I think about the real story of this young girl who got mud on her face, and when she came to Jesus, the face was still the same. The mouth was just having a little opening for her to eat and drink. And all that she could was hear a little beat from that little hole in her ear. All she could breathe was through a little hole in the nose. It was completely melted. When she came to Jesus, Jesus healed her. The face is still the same, but the heart is not the same. Brothers and sisters, you always ask, God, change my face. Oh, this marred face that this lady had. One day sat at the bus stop in Johor Bahru in Malaysia. And as she was sitting there, there was a young girl coming in. And she was so taken aback and was so afraid to sit beside her while waiting for the bus. And as this girl was sitting there, she was there to minister to this young girl. She talked to her about Jesus' love. She talked to her about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And this young girl began to weep and cry in the bus stop, right in the public. And she was crying. And as she was crying, then found out she was actually about to take her last ride to where she wants to commit suicide. What amazing arrangement by God. How many of you know the resurrection power is true and real? This is not a makeup story. This is a real story. It was in the paper many years ago. And as I read, and I have a Christian minister who have seen her and spoke to her, and I was just rejoicing. And I said, God, everything that is so ugly, you turn it into beautiful. And here this girl took her in with her hands and began to pray the salvation prayer. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. The resurrection power is real. I want you to know the power of that effect, as we can also see in Jeremiah 33, verse 10 to 16. I put it on the slides here. Can you read it? Great. I'm going to read to you. You know what happened? I'm going to let you know. There was this judgment of God that came upon Judah and Jerusalem. They disobeyed the Lord. They had their own idolatry and witchcraft while they were in the promised land in which God has given to them to flourish, but they did not. They disobeyed. They did what they think is right for themselves, and God has judged them, and they had the worst nightmare that God used Babylonians, Assyrians, those cruel fellows to come and attack them and wipe them out. And the Bible says Judah and Jerusalem, they were all taken out into exile. The whole entire city was not even inhabited by men nor animals. And this is what Jeremiah said. Let's look at that scripture now. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate place without man or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither man nor animals, there will be heard once more. Come on, everybody. There will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, Give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Amen. You know something? The land may be desolated for the number of years that God put judgment on that. But Jeremiah spoke the promise. Listen to the promise. It's the same promise for you. When you think that you're all dried up, when you think you're so empty, but the day will come because of the resurrection power. There will be the voice of gladness. There will be the voice of thanks and of offering. There will be the voice of praise. There will be the voice of the living God right inside our heart. And you can rise up and rejoice because He is alive. Amen. And you know something? As I began to ponder the word of the Lord here in Jeremiah, He went on continuously. He says, "For I will restore the fortunes of the land." Whoa! Thank you, Lord. The power of resurrection can restore the life of those people who think it's all over. No wonder a lot of people in their own crisis continue to live in deeper crisis because they do not know how to get out. But I have one solution for every one of you to get out. Call upon the name of Jesus. The Bible tells me very clearly, if you believe in the word, those who call upon Him shall be saved. Shall be saved. Listen to the word in verse 12. This is what the Lord Almighty says: in this place, desolate and without man or animals in all this town, there will again be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. You know what I'm excited about? It speaks to me clearly that when the Lord wants to restore the land, He's going to put more churches into the land. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's going to put more churches. He's going to put pastures for shepherds to rest as well. This is a place where you learn to rest in the Lord. That's why we need church. Church is not a political, it's not here to politicize, but the church is a place for us to preach about the kingdom of God. There are many despondent people needs to be enlightened. Some of you say, "Pastor, I've been a Christian for 10 over years and I do not know how to overcome my problem. I do not know how to overcome my situation." Listen, brothers and sisters, the truth is the word. The word says in the resurrection power, God says clearly for all of us, all things are possible. I do not know what your situation is, but you got to rest in Him. There was a man who came and talked to my lecturer one day. He had lost millions of dollars in Singapore. In fact, he sold everything away to pay off his debts. After paying all his debts, he still owed 1 million. And he has to live with that. He gave up everything. His wife left him. His family left him. He has to sell everything to give to his wife as well. That's the point where he began to wonder, "Have I lost everything?" Some people will choose to continue with that lostness because they're sick and tired of the payment that they have to make, the debts that they have to go through. They got tired of it. They tried to run away. But listen carefully. This man did not run away. He faced up with his debts. And the Lord, in His miraculous way, delivered him, set him free, and found himself once again in the mighty presence of God. Miraculously, God delivered him. And he was set free. Now, what I'm saying here, I'm not asking you to go around owing people and hopefully that your debts will be cleared. And I'm very sure in this country, your debts will not be cleared. Somehow, their miraculous experience has caused me to ponder the grace of God. I know my God is a miracle-working God. Because why? His resurrection power is there. He's able to forgive and is able to restore. Anne Murray said one thing. She wrote a song, and this song says, "A Little Good News." When she wrote this song, she was watching television. And in the television, there was this news about all these fights and wars and Lebanon's having this
critical civil war. And as she was looking at it, she felt despondent. She felt sad about the whole thing. And she decided to write a song. And in the song, the title was A Little Good News. And I thought to myself, it's so true that we all need a little good news. Isn't it true? The society needs a little good news. Melbourne needs that little good news. And that little good news may sound as though insignificant, but the little good news is about the resurrection power of Jesus. He's able to forgive. He's able to restore. He's able to take us back from where we were. We were in a pit. We were in that very hole. But God took us out and cleanses and washes from the miry clay and put us back into the position as the child of the living God. You and I have been placed in that position. That's why we can celebrate today the resurrection of Jesus. This resurrection of Jesus is about restoring people's lives. It's about forgiving people's lives. It's about taking people from where they thought they have lost everything. God says, I'm going to restore your salvation. I'm going to bring you back. Many of us never thought it could be possible because we always never think that Jesus is the Lord of our life. Because all we think about is, what can God give me? What can God give me? What can God give me? I tell you what God has given you. He gave you His Son. I do not know how much you can stretch your mind today, but I pray that you stretch very far. Do you know the hardest thing in life is to give away your son? It's the hardest thing. In this world, how many of you could easily say, mothers, would you easily say, I can sacrifice my son? I give away my son? The hardest thing. No matter how our parents dislike our behavior, but they would never say, I'll give up my son. But you know what God did? If you ask the question, God, you have not given me yet. You have not given me yet. God has given you the hardest thing that any human being can give is His Son. I pray today that you will take His Son into your life. Somebody say, amen. Amen. And that resurrection power of Jesus Christ that is real and true will cause you to rise up to be the man and the woman that He wants you to be. Why don't you just close your eyes right now? Hallelujah. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet at this moment. God is a wonderful God. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432. Or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.